Well, today I'm going to be sharing, as we continue this message, Experiencing Christmas, I'm going to be sharing on the fact that Jesus is our joy. Jesus is our joy. The word joy, joyful, or rejoice occur 459 times in the New Living Translation. That's a lot. That's a lot. A whole lot of times in the New Testament, a whole lot of times in the Old Testament. And preparing for this message, I at least eyeballed and read pretty good the entire New Testament's occurrence. Wow, a lot of scripture passages here. I was just getting blessed as I read the amount of time that the word joy is mentioned. The Lord is a great point. And today we're going to highlight the times that that's in scripture and look at that and see how we can apply that to our lives and really what Christ means to us if you look at the future of the future. We're going to open up our first video clip for Advent here on June. And I want you to take a look at this atmosphere right now.
Few would have considered it a silent night, a holy night. Travelers jostled in the city gates. Weary fists pounded on closed doors, pleading on the outside, arguing from within, all to the same refrain, no room. Among the houses rang raucous Roman laughter, census takers with comfortable quarters and plenty of food and wine. There is little peace and less goodwill between stranger and villager here. Somewhere a dog barked, a lamb bleated, a woman moaned, and a baby cried. Out on the hillsides, exposed to the cold night, without even a stable for warmth, shepherds huddled around the fire, guarding their flocks against thieves and wolves. Suddenly, a light to split the darkness, a voice, a song, a chorus of angels. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a child, a son, a shepherd, a king, a savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. Awaken, O little town that cannot sleep. Hear the shepherd's words. The angel's message. And arise to a sound unfamiliar. The triumph of joy.
The Lord gives us joy. I watched that video and I was just kind of shocked. You know that he's dying. You see the Roman soldiers spitting out wine, laughing. They were there doing the census. He had a fear. And they didn't know those were coming to the Lord. But wow, I just thought, oh, that we would welcome Christ a little bit more than that. Oh, that we would give him the praise he deserves. The term joy literally means great happiness or pleasure. Synonyms, words that mean the same as joy, I found these that I wanted to share today. Elation, exaltation, festivity, gladness, glee, gratification, jubilance, liveliness, pride, rapture, ravishment, refreshing, regalement, rejoicing, satisfaction, solace, transport, treasure, treat, and wonder. Wow, they're good words, man. Good ravishment. That the Lord gives us ravishment. That's like big time joy, right? That's like you can't help but smile because Jesus is at work in your life. Some of the words that are opposites of that are sadness, sorrow, unhappiness, and woe. Joy is the opposite of despair. Christ is our joy. That's the opposite of despair and hopelessness. Jesus is our joy. You see, if Christ is with us, I understand that we can be down, but you know what? I want to remind you this. If you feel down, or there's times when you feel real down, I want you to know that when Jesus is with you, which the Word says He will never leave us or forsake us, when He is with you, you're not as down as you feel. That's just the devil trying to play on your emotions. You're not as down as you feel. And I want you to remind yourself, if you can, and say, you know what? I feel down, and my feelings, you know, they're real, but I'm not as bad as it seems because Jesus is with me. That it's not as dark as it seems, that light is around the corner, that Christ does desire to be with you. He loves you. He's going to work in your life, and you don't need to be hopeless because we have the hope of the world within us. Even if you feel hopeless, I want you to at least know in your mind you're not hopeless. And dwell upon who Christ is and His power, and hopefully that'll give you a spark in your heart. Because Jesus is awesome. Mm-hmm. He is good. And we're going to look at that today. The true worship of Christ has been known forever of helping people experience gladness, and some descriptions of Christians finding the hope of Jesus is leaping, shouting, and singing. Many church groups were known for singing. Remember the term the singing Methodists back in the day? The Methodists were known to sing all the time. Why? Because Jesus is awesome. How can you not help but give Him praise? I think of the man who was healed, I believe it was Acts chapter 4. He was paralyzed, sitting on the steps. Peter came over to him, I believe it was Peter and John, and he wanted money, and he was begging, and they said, you know what? I don't have any money for you. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. And then he said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And this man who was paralyzed stood up and began leaping and jumping around. For the first time in his life, he had joy. Isn't that awesome? He found Christ. And in the Psalms it says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. God is the source of our joy. He's the object of our joy. And it's only natural that we would worship Him joyfully. That's why we do it with songs. And we lift our hands in worship. And we're not afraid to clap in songs and just cry out, amen, hallelujah, praise the name of the Lord. The word hallelujah literally means praise the Lord. It's the church word. If you never heard it, say praise the Lord. Say hallelujah. We're going to worship the Lord together. In the Old Testament, they would have these festivals where they would have trumpets sounding, and it was a big party in the Old Testament. Several times during the year, God scheduled events for them to come and to be joyful in their worship and praise because God delivered them. God set them free. They always went back to the Red Sea. The Lord helped them cross the Red Sea, set them free from Egypt. In our lives, we don't remember crossing the Red Sea, but I remember Jesus setting us free from sin. Instead of crossing the Red Sea, we crossed the gateway out of the kingdom of hell into Jesus' arms. And He has worked in our lives, and it's just fantastic. Thank the Lord for that. Our natural response is to worship Him. I'm glad you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 12. Going to read this today, and there's a lot of other texts I'm going to highlight. And it says this, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the field nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize Him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Today, the first thing in our outline, or outline is this: because of His birth, Jesus is our joy. Jesus, many times in the Bible, we see He gives joy just by showing up. Because that's how awesome He is, right? And this isn't like joy of a normal baby being born. This is like joy for all the world, to all people. In fact, in Luke chapter 1, we see Mary meeting Elizabeth. After Mary is pregnant with a baby, Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. And he shows up, and the Bible says that Elizabeth, as soon as she looks over the hill and she sees Mary, of course, Mary pregnant with Jesus, the baby within Elizabeth jumps for joy, excited because there's Jesus. There's the King of the world. And in fact, Elizabeth said that, "I am so honored. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me?" Elizabeth didn't even know, except she knew because John told her that she was pregnant with the Messiah. "When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy." Jesus gives joy even when He wasn't even born yet. He gave joy. And then Mary's response was, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. Oh, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Because of His birth, Jesus is our joy. That's good. Number two, we have here today, because of His life, Jesus is our joy. Because of His life, Jesus is our joy. Just a few scriptures. I have a lot I'm going to reference today. You can write these down if you want. In Luke 19:6, we see Jesus meeting Zacchaeus. Remember, Zacchaeus was the little short guy who couldn't see Jesus. He was the tax collector. He was the bad guy. Yet, in order to see Jesus, he climbed the tree. Because everybody was there blocking his way. And what an amusing picture. And it says, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down the tree after Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm eating dinner in your house tonight. Dinner's on you, Zacchaeus. Come on down the tree." And it says he climbed down the tree and went, took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Great excitement and joy. That's cool. Because the Lord was there and showed up in his life. The third thing, because of his death and resurrection, the Bible says Jesus is our joy. In John 16:16-22, we see Jesus speaking to his disciples before the cross. Right around verse 20, he says, "I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me. But the world will rejoice," referring to the cross. "You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. It'll be like a woman suffering the pains of labor. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice." And Jesus says, "And no one can rob you of that joy." Because it's real joy. What's he talking about? He says, you're going to grieve. Jesus is trying to help them out and tell them that I'm going to be crucified. You're going to go through a hard time. But when you have joy of seeing me rise, nobody can rob you of that joy. Isn't that awesome? Nobody can rob you from that joy. Because of his death and resurrection, he is our joy. Matthew 28, we see the resurrection of Jesus. The women came to the tomb, and the angel was there. "Do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus. He isn't here. He rose from the dead." Verse 8, they ran quickly from the tomb. It says they were very frightened, but they were also filled with great joy. The resurrection of Jesus filled them with joy. We see the same thing in John 20 when Jesus shows up. Behind the locked doors, all the disciples were huddled. They locked the doors so nobody would get them. They were scared to death. Somebody robbed Jesus' body. We don't believe the women. What are we going to do? And Jesus shows up in the middle of the meeting and says, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his wounds in his hand and his wounds in his side. And they knew it was the resurrected Lord. And it said their response was, they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. John 20:20. They were filled with joy. Jesus gives joy. Isn't that good? There's a whole lot of more times we see Jesus being joyed in Scripture. Luke 24, 51 and forward, Jesus was blessing them. He's getting ready to go to heaven. After the resurrection, he's standing on the mountain. They worshiped him. And it says, Jesus left them. He was taken up to heaven. They worshiped him, returned to Jerusalem, and they were filled with great joy. That's what Jesus does. Filled them with joy. Number four, the joy of Christ. Look at, if you could turn to Hebrews 12. I think this is a good one for us to turn to. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. We've seen the joy, the word joy in Scripture is relating to other people and what Jesus did for them and what Jesus did for us. Look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And we're going to see a time in Scripture here, this one, I'm sure there's other times, this one specific time where Jesus is seen to be looking for joy. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Somebody give me a page number from our Bible. Do you have one there, Brian? 927, if you have one of our Bibles from the back. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We've read this before. We know this passage. Look at verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. Wow. That's just a powerful verse, isn't it? He is our joy, and he knew that the joy awaiting him after his death and resurrection was to sit in honor and to the throne of his Father, that he would be the Savior for our sins. That was the joy awaiting him. How awesome is that? He's our joy because he takes joy in us being right with him. Isn't that powerful? It's not all about our joy. No. That God will be with us. What a powerful thing. And the joy set before him being with us. I don't know about you, but sometimes with me, for the joy set before me, I'll eat a waffle with strawberries and ice cream. For the joy set before me, for me to get joy, a lot of times I can be selfish. If you're honest, you might say the same thing to you. For you to get joy, your joy isn't being a blessing to somebody else. Your joy is like, man, it's one of them big Hershey bars, right? Or your joy is something. Going to Disney World is your joy. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What a powerful truth. Number five, in the church we see that Jesus is our joy. All through the book of Acts we see the word joy repeatedly. Acts 2:42 and forward, they talk about all the believers were devoted to the apostles' teaching, preaching, fellowship. Verse 46, it says they worshiped together at the temple, they met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with joy and generosity. They gave away all they had, verse 45 says, for the Lord. They gave away all they had. They sold all their property so they could give to those in need. They met and prayed, and it says they were filled with great joy. Acts 8, we see the Lord at work. Acts 8 says there was great joy in that city, that the name of Jesus was being proclaimed, the paralyzed were being healed, the lame were walking. Great joy. Acts 8:39. We see Philip baptized the eunuch, and then they came up out of the water. What a miraculous story that is. Philip, God beamed him away like in Star Trek to another place to preach the gospel. Amazing that God needed to use Philip, or wanted to move Philip and use him so much that he beamed him out of the water, went somewhere else, The Ethiopian eunuch stands up and begins proclaiming the praises of God, how awesome that was, and says he was filled with joy. He went on his way rejoicing. Acts 11, they were filled with joy, it says. Acts 13, all the believers, this one's good. Acts 13, it says, the Jews stirred up influential religious women. They incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13. People were fighting against the preaching of the gospel. They ran them out of the town. And it says in verse 51, they just shook the dust off their feet. Verse 52, they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The people were coming against them. This Jesus isn't real. You're lying. We don't want your gospel. Kicked them out of town. Threw them out. They got up. And they just started singing and marching on. Filled with joy. Because Jesus is joy. When Paul and Silas were in jail, remember there was an earthquake and the Lord set them free? The man was going to kill himself, the jailer, because he thought, my gosh, they're going to kill me for letting them free. Paul and Silas said, stop, we're still here. We love Jesus. And the man said, what must I do to be saved? Ended up getting saved, took them home, his entire family was saved. And it says, the entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. In the early church, we see Jesus was the joy. Really, at the end of every big story, we see joy, 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 joy. Number 6, this is a neat verse. John 8:56, Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad. Wow! And he said, your father Abraham in the Old Testament rejoiced. Jesus said when he knew I was coming. When he knew the Messiah would come, he rejoiced and was glad. That Jesus even brought Abraham joy in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. I only have 10, so we're almost done. Because you wondered, how many could there be? 10 big references. Here's a really neat one. Matthew 3, 13 and 17. Jesus was just baptized by John the Baptist. It says, after his baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. That Jesus brought the Father great joy, Father God. Wow! That was just cool. That Jesus even brought the Father joy. Jesus brings joy. Moving on here. In our lives today, Jesus brings joy. Galatians 5:22 is the fruit of the Spirit passage. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It says love. Take a guess at what the next one is. Joy. Peace, patience, guidance, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. The Lord brings joy in our lives. The devil wants to rob you of your joy. The Lord wants to bring you joy. It's a fruit. It's just what happens. Kind of like with my story opening, how, you know, the Lord worked in my life and gave me patience and helped me to be more Christ-like. And it was just a fruit. It was just something that happened because I was spending time with Jesus. The weird thing with that story for me is the fact that the guy admitted to watching my life. And you're thinking, that's weird, you know? People are watching my life to see if this Jesus thing is true. But you know what? They are. And people are watching your life to see if this Jesus thing is true. And I pray that the fruits of the Spirit just happen. They just pop out of nowhere. That where you were a mean, no good, whatever, you're growing with Jesus, and all of a sudden there's this fruit of kindness that pops out. People say, wow, you're different. I've heard testimonies from some of the women in our church and how their husbands have changed since we've got a friend. I've heard many times people say, you know, the man you know, he's not the man he used to too. Thank the Lord. That Jesus worked and changed him. And I thought, that's how it should work. That's how it should work. He gives us joy. Romans 5, 10 and 11 says this, "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He has made us friends with God." We rejoice in our relationship with the Lord, that Jesus gives us joy because of what He did on the cross. Romans 4, 7 and 8 says, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin." The Lord has forgiven us. That gives us joy. That gives us joy. If any of us here, you don't have to raise your hand for this, but if you can think, if you don't have credit card debt, you just pretend you did, right? Imagine you have this big old credit card debt. It's just so. What are you going to do? Imagine if it just costs you, if you're like, I don't have to imagine, man. It's Christmas. We know what it is, right? But what if a credit card president, the guy from Visa or whatever, calls you on the phone and says, you know what? The Christmas season has got to me and I want to be a blessing to you. I'm personally going to pay your entire bill. I'm personally going to pay it off. Wouldn't that give you joy? Wouldn't that give you joy? How much more when we're heading on a path to hell? And our debt is more than for a TV or clothing. Our debt is from our sin to God. And Jesus, God Himself, says, you know what? I'm going to take care of that debt for you. And you know what? I'm not even just going to pay it with money. Your debt is so big, it's going to cost me my life. But I'm still going to pay it. I'm going to die so you don't have this giant pile of debt that you can never repay for that. The debt that will keep us out of heaven forever. For those who call upon me, Jesus Himself, the president of the company, called us and said, I'll die for your debt. You don't have to worry about it. That would be reaching out. Right? Isn't that good? For those who call upon His name, He does that. For those who don't call upon His name, you're still waiting and your debt isn't paid. It can be today, but it's not paid unless you call upon the president of the company, if you will. You call upon Jesus and you ask Him to forgive you. You give your life to Him and you commit to Him and repent of your sin. And then He does that. And then you're filled with joy. I don't know about you, man. These things are just good to think over. You know, the joy that comes from the Lord. If we're down, it's good to think about these kind of things. Moving on, number 9. In hard times, Jesus is our joy. I know I kind of touched on this last week, but you know what? That's when we need joy. Is when we're kind of like not doing right. That's why joy has its power. Because when we're hopeless, Jesus is a joy. Luke 6, Jesus said this, Luke 6:20. He turned to His disciples and said, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. What blessings await you when people hate you? And they exclude you. Has anybody been hated or excluded? What blessings await you, Jesus said. How about when people mock you, He said, and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? Son of Man being a title for Jesus. It says, what blessings await you when people hate you, exclude you, mock you, and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? Curse you as evil. What can that be? That can be hypocrite. You don't really love Jesus. You say you love Jesus and you don't. You're just a goody-goody person. You're not for real. Get out of here. When people say those kind of things, Jesus says, what blessing you have. When that happens, Luke 6:23, Jesus says, be happy. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And he says, remember your ancestors treated the prophets the same way. Because you know what? People were treated like that before you. It's okay. Because you're my child. I'm going to have a reward in heaven. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. Even when people treat you well. Because you see, really, number 9 is when joy really shows its strength. It's honestly in the heart. Joy doesn't mean this thing from the past. Happiness is like smile. Joy is way deeper. Joy is when it's hard. Joy is when, remember September 11th, when people, when their husbands were killed in the same and the wives, so many of them widows, who love Christ, and they know it's okay. That somehow in the midst of great sorrow, they still have joy. Joy not lasting, giving joy, but joy is in this peace that is going to be. So they're with the Father in heaven. They knew their husband loved Jesus. And they are going to get through this peace, this thing that's bigger than your hard time. Because Jesus is there to help you. Joy is bigger than giving. Remember Batman, like the Joker, permanent X smile? You would think that's joy, that's not joy, that's truth. For some people, they think, you know, to be joyful means you just etch this smile on your face. You know what? No, that's not real. Sometimes you might not be smiling, but that doesn't mean you don't have the joy of the Lord, the constant assurance that it's going to be okay, that Jesus is going to be there and help us leap for joy, Jesus says. Your great reward awaits. If you're going through a hard time, leap for joy. The early church in Acts 5, verse 40, it says, they called in the apostles, they had them flock. They ordered never again to speak in the name of Jesus. So they called in the apostles, they beat them, had them flogged. Flogged meaning the whip that Jesus had with a cat of nine tails and chunks of bone. It's just, when you read the passage, it's so odd because they decide, okay, let's let the disciples go. On the way out, flog them. No big deal. Big deal. Big deal. Beat like I never wanted to. Chunks of bone, ripping flesh, big time. And it says, Acts 5:41, the apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of the Lord Jesus. Then every day they continued to preach to them. They left rejoicing. Because as they left, you see this Jesus thing, this is where Jesus is real. Because if Jesus is just a religion, who would be rejoicing? I don't want to get beat for Buddha. You know what I'm saying? I would suffer a splinter from Muhammad. You know? But even though they were beat, they left in their mind, you know.
Jesus is my joy.
hard time feeding through our children. And you know what's so cool? The next thing Peter saw was Jesus standing before him in heaven. We see that from Stephen in the book of Acts. The next thing Stephen saw after he died was Jesus standing. We always see in the Bible Jesus sitting. Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. Stephen is executed. And we see Jesus standing. Welcome. There's greater joy in this world than just Christmas gifts. There's greater joy than just being happy. Your boss can give you a raise and you can be happy. That's a good thing. But Jesus gives joy in the midst of the rain. Even if your boss follows or fires you, Jesus is still joy. Hebrews 10:32. We're going to move on. You can read this later if you want. Hebrews 10:32 through 34. The writer of Hebrews is speaking to the people. And he talks about how they endured so much, yet when everything they had was taken away, they accepted it with great joy because they knew better things were waiting for them. How awesome. When everything was robbed, they knew better things are ahead. It's okay because Jesus is with me. 2 Corinthians 8:1-2. As the church was being tested, they were very poor through all kinds of troubles and trials. But Paul writes, they were also filled with abundant joy. Because the joy of Christ has nothing to do with what you own. The joy of Christ is just about Christ, about what He's doing in us. 2 Corinthians 6:3-10 speaks about joy. In fact, Paul talks about all the hard things he endured, shipwrecks, mobs getting throughout, people despising him, people saying he's an imposter, he's a fake. The end of part 9 in 2 Corinthians 6, part 9, it says, we've been beaten, but we have not been killed. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, yet we have everything. The world wants to tell you that joy comes from a new class of people. Okay? You know, football, I've been frustrated with Eagles all season. If I get a bigger TV that looks better, it's just going to make me even more mad. They're not going to do better just because the screen's bigger. I'll just see the cat smile even bigger when he throws the interception. The world tells me I need all those kind of things. You know what? I need Jesus. And I can get through anything. Even when things are hard with Jesus, He helps. I've preached quite a few funerals as a pastor. To be honest with you, I've preached funerals of those who love the Lord, and I've preached funerals with people who I just knew did not love the Lord at all. There's a difference. Oh, how much better it is to share the joy that we have in Christ, right? When we know people are in a better way. I know we have quite a few people in our church that suffer with depression. Today, I don't share this message as a slap in your face. I share this message to say Jesus is in you. The first thing the devil wants to do, I'm trying to be cautious when I say this. I honestly don't want to be used for what will go through the church. But I want to say this, that once depression hits, the devil wants to exclude you from being around other people. And the devil wants you to not call out to Jesus. He wants you to not feel like reading Scripture. And he wants to take you away from the presence of the Lord. Why? Because Jesus is with you. He wants to do what he can to keep you away from other believers who point to Jesus. He wants to keep you from your word that points to Jesus. He wants to keep you from prayer that calls out to Jesus. Because that's the truth. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if He can rob you of your joy, or He can't rob us of Jesus, but if He can make us think He's robbed us of our joy, simply so. Enjoy the word of Christmas. And if the devil can't keep you from going to heaven, he wants you to be weak. And he wants you to not take anybody else to heaven with you. I want to encourage you, press into Jesus, he is the source of heaven. Call up other believers. Call up other family members in the church. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And say, pray with me. You can call me. You can send me an email. You have to just pray. You can even say what it is you even have to say. Just pray. Because Jesus is a joy. And if he's happy to see you, he gives a joy that goes beyond fun. Beyond that. He said that. Last thing. We're going to rejoice in this. At his second coming, Jesus is our joy. Three scriptures I want to share. Malachi 4, 1 and 2 in the Old Testament says, the Lord of heaven's army says, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw. They will be consumed, roots, branches, and all. So the Lord says, the day of judgment is coming for the wicked. It's not going to be good times at all. They will be destroyed. They will be burned up. Verse 2, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out the pasture. I'm not a farmer, but when I'm thinking of it, I can picture my dog. He's jumping around in the kitchen. My dog's almost as big as it. 120 pounds. He's jumping around the kitchen. He needs to go outside. You know when they come home? They open up the door. He almost knocks me out. He runs outside, jumping for joy that we're home and he gets to go outside. Jesus said, for those who love him, when we get to heaven, it's kind of going to be like that. They're going to be there waiting at the gate. Come in. And we're busting through jumping for joy. This place is awesome. The Lord's coming back, and heaven's going to be awesome. Amen? We're going to be jumping for joy in His presence, those who call upon His name, those who fear His name. Malachi 4:2 says, He will rise with healing, and we'll go free and leap for joy. Revelation 19:6-8 speaks of the Lord. His voice is like thunder. Well, this isn't the Lord's voice, this is a voice like thunder that John heard. And it says, praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice. Let us give honor to Him, for the time for the wedding feast of the Lamb has come. The bride has prepared herself. What an awesome thought. We're going to go to heaven and be with the Lord. Revelation 21, and we're closing right here. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth disappeared, the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them. They will be His people. God Himself will be with them. Verse 4, Revelation 21, verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow, crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Wipe every tear. No more death or sorrow, crying or pain. Heaven will be a joyful place. Those are all fine. In closing, I have a quick video clip I want to show you that finishes our Advent series. They were looking for joy in the Old Testament for the Messiah. We're looking for joy now, waiting for the return of Christ. We have joy. We have joy, yet we're waiting for the abortion, the return of the Lord. We have joy, but we still have sorrow at times. There's still hard stuff to go through life. The Revelation tells us there's going to come a time when that's gone. It's going to be just the joy of the Lord. This is a clip of the song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. They were waiting for the first time in the Bible to come. They were waiting for the second. And they were waiting for the second. Without Jesus, there's no hope for this life. There's no joy. There's no peace. For the future, for those without Jesus, as we look, there's no hope again. With Jesus, there's joy. In this life, Jesus comes to help. He brings His provision. He brings His healing. He brings His peace. And all those things give us joy. In the midst of hard times, know Jesus is with you, for those who call upon Him. Says, I will never leave you or forsake you. If you feel like He's left you, I want you to know that's a lie from the enemy, and He has not left you. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Know that. Take peace in that. And call upon His name. For those in Christ, we have joy as we look towards the promise of heaven. For the Christian, we have much joy in the Lord. For those today who aren't Christians, you haven't accepted Christ, you haven't called upon His name, you're not Christian just because you grew up in church or even because your grandma's a Christian or something. You're only a Christian if you ask Jesus if He will come into your heart and forgive you. You see, for Christmas, we don't just look at the baby in the cross. We look at the baby in the manger. We look at the child who grew to be the man. He lived a perfect life and died on the cross for all of us. It's the saving Jesus that changed the world and He's changed my life. If you don't know Jesus, you need to know Him. It can be the best Christmas you've ever had. You need to call out to Him, then you can know the joy of the Lord Jesus is in you. Nehemiah 8:10. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is in you. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and we're going to close this time out this morning. Let's bow our heads together and let's just give real praise and worship to Jesus, the Lord. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are our joy. At Christmas, we celebrate how awesome You are, Lord. That You've come to give hope, thank You. To give peace, thank You. To show Your love and give Your love, thank You. To provide. provide us for joy, both now and for eternity. We thank you. And we pray. And we worship. And we pray. For those of us who are believers, we love you. We worship you. We thank you. For those of us who are believers and we have friends and family that don't know you, we pray this Christmas that they would come to know the joy of Christ. Draw them to you. With every head bowed, I'm going to give you an opportunity if you don't have Christ to call out. If you don't know Christ, you need to do this. You need to admit your fault. You need to confess it. You need to say, Lord, I'm messed up. You've seen me messed up. I'm tired of living life by myself. You've seen all my sins. I admit them. The Bible says you need to believe on the death and resurrection. You insult God when you say, take it to heaven, but I don't believe you actually live and die for it. I insult him. Lord Jesus, I believe in your death and resurrection. I know you died on the cross. You rose again. You split time in half from BC to AD. So I confess my sin. You own us to God. You ask Him to forgive you. If you're here today and you want to receive Christ, you don't know Him, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. Just lift that sin out and then receive it from prayer. I'm not going to call you out. Done the things you want to do. And I've done the things you want to do not. I've sinned again. And I ask you to forgive me. And as you died on the cross, you gave me. You did that to pay my debt. Thank you for doing it. I make you my leader, my master, and my Savior. Father, flood me with you. Jesus, thank you for doing it. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. He gives us joy. I'm glad that the Bible says for the joy set before him that you enjoy the tomorrow. Because if it wasn't for the death and resurrection, there is no joy. It would just undo you. Jesus is more than that. Well, the world wants to say there's some God. Peter's death shows us he wants to some God. He is new. I know. Those of you who trust in Christ, you know. He came this Christmas. He is the joy. He is the source of joy. We rejoice. Don't run away from him. He wants to walk in that. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. Well, this Wednesday, we're going to be lighting the last candle to the Christmas. Christ's kingdom. He is our peace, he is our love, and he is our hope, he is our joy. Jesus is good. It's the reason for all that we do. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the message that needs to get out. That's the message. Not just about Rudolph and Frosty, they're fine. About Jesus. Let's go ahead and stand and close in prayer. And I want to encourage you to come out to Wednesday to the candlelight if you can. I think you will find it to be a blessing. And we'll sing some carols, we'll point towards Christ. And if you've never been to a candlelight service, we'll all get a candle as we walk in and we light them together to symbolize the light of the world that changes everything. And it's just a beautiful time. I want to encourage you to come out for that. Jesus, we thank you for this service, Lord. We thank you for the joy of the Lord that, God, we can't even begin to comprehend sometimes what you've given us, Lord. We thank you that sometimes that shows itself in laughter. It shows itself in leaping for joy. It shows itself in uplifted hands of worship to you. In the smiles of the holiday, we thank you. But, Lord, I thank you that your joy goes deeper than the smile. That even when things are tough, we still have the joy of the Lord that gets us through. That joy from you is a real, tangible thing. We thank you. Help us, Lord. I pray for those here today who Christmas is a hard time, that they're struggling with this. I pray that you would bless them and help them. Fill them with the joy. Even more than they feel at this time. Let them feel your joy. Help us, Lord, as we go and share the joy of Christ in the world. We ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.